Well, welcome everybody to St Andrew's and All Saints Online, wherever you are watching, from the comfort of your living room, or watching on your phone or iPad. We really want to give you a very warm welcome. Welcome particularly to our regular congregation members, and especially to those who are in our church family who are self-isolating at the moment. Jasmine and Misha and the girls, the Pemich family, the Baxters, and all of you precious older folk. A particular welcome to you. You are much in our thoughts and prayers. And a particular welcome to anyone who isn't normally with us on a Sunday, but actually is listening in online, particularly if you're from other churches or not. We want to really welcome you and say it's lovely to have you with us today. You know, we may not be able to gather here in person today, but we can still connect together to be the church, to be able to support each other, to come to worship the God, our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Each week for the foreseeable future, we're going to be pre-recording two services, a traditional service from All Saints and a contemporary service here from St Andrew's. And they'll be available from 8:30 in the morning, every Sunday morning on our website, so that you can join us online. You know, we're not going to get it right first time, so do bear with us as we experiment with how this is going to work. But we do hope that you'll find blessing and encouragement in these services at this time of uncertainty. As this is a pre-recorded service, you can pause this at any time and then continue without missing anything. And you can also watch it at any time too. But please, we encourage you to join us and to join in as you would if you were here for any other normal service. We're also, as you will see, putting children's and youth material online too each week. I think there's some online materials today which Helen has put together for the children, and I think Eddie is having a Zoom session with the youth later on, and hopefully you know how to do that, youth. But children and young people, you are particularly welcome, and we want, as normal, to have the first bit of this service where we're all together as church family. We're going to be continuing our service on prayer today, and Peter, our curate, is going to be speaking today on how we can pray in the light of this crisis and about spiritual warfare prayer. And it's also Mother and Sunday today, and also my Eleanor's birthday, who 11 years ago was born on Mother and Sunday. And we're particularly going to thank all the amazing women in our churches today for all the different ways that they are mothers to us and support us, and Peter will be talking about that later. But first, let us just be still. Let's come and draw near to the God who, in the midst of this uncertainty, is with you wherever you are. And whatever emotions that you're feeling at this time, just offer them to God right now. And rest in his presence. And hear the words from Isaiah 41. God says, I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you. Let's stand if you want to and sing our first song, Whom Shall Not Fear?
Shall I fear?
And we know that you are faithful. Thank you that we can know that you are always by our side. Just draw us closer to you now and in the coming days, we pray. May we know your presence, your love, and your protection. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand over to Peter now, who's going to come and just help us think about Mothering Sunday.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you, wherever you are this morning. It's great to worship with you. Well, these are strange times, are they not? But that still doesn't mean that we can't celebrate Mothering Sunday. And we want to celebrate women as a whole and the whole expression of motherhood. And so wherever you are, mums and women this morning, we want to bless you this morning. And we want to start by sending a little message to you about how much we love you and why we love you. So watch this little clip.
I love my mummy because she's caring and kind and supportive.
She is so lovely and beautiful, and thank you for reading to me every night.
I like giving a hug to mummy. I like holding mummy's hand.
I love my mother because she's as nutty as I am, and still at this ripe old age of 50 plus, I can ring her any time for some motherly advice.
I love my mum because she helps me through hard times.
I love my mum because she is kind and helpful and takes me to all my tennis tournaments.
I love my mum because she reads me cool stories.
I love my mum because she gives me nice food.
Because she's an incredibly supportive, wonderful person. It doesn't matter what she's going through, she is always there for us and our kids.
I remember my mum as a loving, kind and generous person. She was a great grandmother to my children. She taught me a lot and I miss her.
She was kind and generous and always loving, and that had an impact on so many people. Even Helen in our church did this lovely picture for her, which I think sums my mum up.
So I hope you enjoyed that. Just some of the ways why we love our mums. Now, if you're in families particularly, I hope mums out there, you have been blessed by your family and your children this morning. If we had been together, we might have been able to hand you special flowers. But I hope from us to you, here are some flowers that were saying we love you. And we really, really do so grateful for all you women, for all you do and your gifts, very, very special gifts. So I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll move to the next stage of our service. But let me pray for you all. We bless this morning motherhood in all its expressions. We bless all women who have come into our lives We honour you and celebrate you today. We bless you and thank you for your kindness, for your encouragement, for your care and your love to us. We thank you for your inspiration, your dedication and your nurturing. We thank God for you and rejoice that God celebrates every one of you today. He loves you as we also love you. And in these coming days of uncertainty, and particularly for families with children at home, we want to bless you with patience, endurance, and creativity and resilience. And thank you for all that you're going to do in the coming days. Amen. So, we are now going to move on to some more worship, but this is a moment now. Children, if you particularly want to do some other activities, Helen has put some other activities that you can go to and get access via the website. Families, you may want to do that and then come back to this next section of the service later. But you can pause us and do that, or you can stay with us. And we're now, therefore, going to continue into worship. Our next song, Come People of the Risen King. Let us continue to worship.
To bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell our battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every
time where there's so much uncertainty, we remember that actually Christ is our cornerstone. But in this time of actually looking for hope, that actually hope is found when we look to God. My hope is built on nothing else.
Thank you.
Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, in this season of new times of being church, we pray that as we gather remotely, we may continue to encourage each other and spur one another on to know even more securely than ever before the great hope that we profess. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to have our scripture readings now. And the first reading, if you've got some Bibles at home, is from 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 to 19. And the passage is entitled, "Elisha Traps Blinded Arameans." Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel." "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this enemy army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. And our New Testament reading today, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, the armour of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What appropriate words for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Peter's going to now come up and share with us. Let's pray for Peter. Lord, we thank you for these passages. Thank you for your scripture, which we can just dwell richly in at this time. And just as Peter speaks, may you give him words to say. May you give us ears to hear. And may you minister to us and raise us up through these words. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, wherever you are this morning and wherever you are listening to us, I wonder how you see yourself. Do you identify yourself in relation to your job? Do you see yourself as a teacher, a nurse, a business person? Or do you identify yourself in terms of relationships? Are you a mother, a son, a daughter, a father? Are you an adult or a child? Or perhaps you identify yourself in terms of your circumstances. Do you see yourself as successful or a failure or lonely or a prisoner or a free person? I wonder how you identify yourself. I wonder, however, whether you ever identify yourself as a warrior, as a soldier. Because for Christians, one of our many identities as a Christian is as a soldier, as a warrior. And in these difficult and uncertain times, many of us are feeling fearful, uncertain, and confused. And that is normal, that is okay, that is expected. But if you're a member of St. Andrew's and All Saints Church, I don't think it is a coincidence that God has planned for us to speak on spiritual warfare on this Sunday at this time as part of our ongoing series Into Prayer. I want to suggest that Christians, and in this time more than ever, need to engage with their warrior aspect of their Christian nature. This may not be comfortable language, but it is biblical language. Now, let me cast out a health warning. I'm very aware that today particularly, if you're joining us for the first time, or you don't normally attend St. Andrew's or All Saints, this teaching, this language that I'm using this morning may be very unfamiliar to you. But I hope that even that may be uncomfortable or unfamiliar, that my prayer and hope is that something of what I share will be of encouragement and give you peace at this time. So let's explore this topic of warfare a little bit more. Now, one lens through which we can read the big story of the Bible is one of battle, of conflict, of fighting and contention against God's purposes and his plans for humanity and for the world. It's thread throughout the whole Bible story. Let me give you a snippet of the big picture of the Bible story. It starts in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are battling with the snake, to battle for truth. That moves on to Cain and Abel, two brothers who fight and one murders the other. We know the story of Abraham and Sarah, Sarah being barren, unable to have children, and yet God breaks through. We have Jacob and Esau, two brothers, again in conflict. There's deceit and the stealing of one's blessing. We have Pharaoh and Moses and the plagues and the battle there. When Israel finally leaves Egypt, we have 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. We know the stories of David battling Goliath. We know that King David fell to adultery, desiring Bathsheba. We think of the prophets constantly in battle, an example of Elijah battling against King Ahab and Jezebel. We have Israel and the exit to Babylon and the conquest of Israel. That's just the Old Testament. We move into the New Testament when Jesus is born, Herod sends his soldiers to kill all the baby boys. Jesus' ministry is just a testimony and story of a conflict and the confronting of the powers of darkness, demons and sickness. We see Jesus betrayed by one of his own in Judas. We see Jesus constantly in conflict with the religious leaders. And of course, we finally see Jesus crucified on the cross. We move into the story of the early church where martyrs are killed, Stephen being the first. And the story of Paul, who is constantly hitting battle through his ministry. Let me read you what Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthian church. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. This story of conflict continues throughout the history of humanity and to the present day. Conflict and brokenness and rebellion throughout the world. And never, of course, more now relevant with the coronavirus spreading across our world. We are in a battle. And we know it for ourselves in our own individual lives, don't we? The challenges that we face every day, even if we didn't have the coronavirus, there are challenges we face. Life can be very, very difficult. That is one lens through which we can read the big story of the Bible. But there is good news. Hooray! Yeah, I hear you scream from your living rooms or wherever you're listening. There is good news. Because the other lens through which we can see, we can look at this story through the story of good news and of hope for what God is doing for each and every one of us. The good news is that God is sovereign. All those stories that I've mentioned and the many that I haven't mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the examples of corruption and conflict, all trying to stop what God wants to do, to progress his will, to ultimately restore his creation to how he designed it, and to restore each of us and humanity back into relationship with him. And that victory is done through Christ on the cross, who died for you, he died for me. He descended into hell, but rose again. He overcame death and was victorious. And that is the good news. The good news is that the war is won. But do we see the wholeness of that? No, we don't. The battle and the skirmishes continue. But there will be a day, and is a day, when we will see the completion of the war and that victory seen. Paul, in his letter to Romans, says we are more than conquerors, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. This is the big story. We are in a spiritual and a natural battle. And it can be overwhelming. It can be difficult. You may be feeling overwhelmed even now. But the Christian hope and the good news is that God's purposes will prevail, and he is there for us today and even more. And I want you to enjoy a clip from the film Narnia now, just to be stirred about us as Christian warriors.
She's right. He's gone.
Then you'll have to lead us.
Peter, there's an army out there.
And it's ready to follow you.
I can't.
Aslan believed you could.
So do I.
The witch's army is nearing, sire. What are your orders?
Numbers and weapons far greater than our own.
Numbers do not win a battle.
No.
But I bet they help.
I hope you enjoyed that story of Narnia, Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe. And do you know what? This may be particularly, for any of you, it may be a wonderful time to sit back and watch that movie once again and to see the goodness of God being portrayed in a very practical and real way in battle. Let us return to those two readings that we had earlier. Firstly, the 2 Kings one is a brilliant picture for us to help us engage with the realities of the spiritual realm. There, Elisha's servant Gehazi is overwhelmed because he sees the army of King Aram coming to destroy him and Elisha. But Elisha the prophet, he has his spiritual eyes open and he can see the armies of heaven that are on his side. And for who is on our side? Who can be against us? And so Elijah prays that Gehazi will be able to see actually what's going on in the unseen, the spiritual realms. And his eyes are opened and he realized that there's the army, the heavenly hosts are on their side. And of course, they are saved. They're not killed. That's about us having eyes to see in these seasons and these times. And then that letter to Ephesians that Paul writes in chapter 6, where Paul talks about putting on the armour of God. It reminds us in uncompromising terms about the nature of the environment that we live in. And I would encourage you, sit and read those 2 scriptures again and ask the Lord to speak to you about what is going on and what it means for you. Again, I want to recognise for many this will be uncomfortable language, but it is biblical language. We are soldiers of Christ. So how do we respond? How do we fight the good fight, as the ancient hymns sang? How do we push through and contend against the things against us, and particularly at these times about the coronavirus? But it's not just about the coronavirus, it's about how we cope with isolation, fear, and uncertainty. As Christians, for Christians, our weapons are varied and many. We can declare and read the Word of God. We can fast and pray. We can express love, declare blessing, have communion, and pray of every kind of prayer. And we haven't got time to explore all of those, but perhaps you'd like to consider what are the weapons that you've got. They are many and varied, as I said, I've just listed them. But we are in a season teaching on prayer, and so we're going to focus on the prayer of the weapon of prayer. What does that mean for us? Well, I particularly want to reread the verse 18 in Ephesians 6, where Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We have been learning about all the many different ways in which we can pray. We've thought about thanksgiving prayer, declaring prayer. We've lamented. And here today we're talking about warrior prayer. But here in this verse, Paul calls us to three particular things that I want to highlight. One is in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Reflect back on Gehazi and Elijah. What does it mean for us to use our spiritual eyes and to pray how we are led by the Spirit? What is going on in the spirit realm? What is God asking us? Be led by the Lord, not necessarily just our own agendas. The second thing is to pray on all occasions. And always keep on praying. This is such a time to pursue and persist in our prayer lives. To be praying all the time, on all occasions, and to continue to be praying persistent and constantly. And the third thing which I love that Paul has shown us is that we can engage in the spiritual battle with all kinds of prayer. And all of us have many different preferences when it comes to prayer. But we can use all those kinds of prayer to battle and to stand against the things that we face at the moment. At the moment, in recent days, for myself, I have been declaring has been a powerful weapon in my prayer life. To wake each day and declaring the goodness of God. That's raised my spirits. It's set me up ready for the day. What does it mean to start the day by saying, God, you are good, you're awesome, you're merciful, you are over all things, you are sovereign. It lifts our spirit and we overcome the lies that would try and bring us down. What about praying blessing for people, blessing on our community? When we bless others, we release life, we release hope. But in a moment, we are going to join together in a different type of prayer. We're going to join together and do some warrior prayer together. We are going to do some binding and loosing. But let me just draw together what I've highlighted this morning. One of our Christian identities is that we are warriors and we are soldiers. And more than that, we are on the winning side. And so we can face the battle with confidence, on the front foot, pushing back the enemy, pushing back the things that come against us to bring us down. So we're in an army and we're in a battle. Then remind you what Paul says, to pray in the Spirit. Hear what the Lord is leading us to pray. To pray on all occasions and to keep on praying. It's a call to persistence in our prayer lives. And to pray all kinds of prayers. Declare, give thanks, declare blessing. And in a moment, do some warrior prayer. Prayer in silence. Pray together. Pray on your own. All of this is good. This time, more than ever, our prayers can and will change the situation around us. And if you are able, and you know it would be difficult for some of us, pray with confidence and assurance, because the good news of the Christian faith is that God turns all things for his good. Amen. So, I said we're going to do this for real, and each week we've been practicing prayer style and the prayer form that we have been teaching into. So we're now going to do some warrior prayer, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. And this is just one form, it's not the only form, but it's certainly one that I love and I do enjoy, I have to say. But it's one where I really feel we make a difference. And if you're at home, I would encourage you, if you can, to stand. And we are going to stand on our front foot and contend about what is going on at the moment. Now, what I'd like to do first is to make a confession on behalf of us all. And if you feel able to join me in that at the end, just agree with me when I say amen. And then we're going to go into warrior prayer, and I'll explain what we'll do in just a moment. So let me pray. Lord, on behalf of us all, I want to repent and say that I'm sorry for where we have been disobedient to your way, where we have turned away from you and gone our own way. I am sorry. Forgive me. Forgive us. Have mercy on us and help us and me to follow your way of love. Amen. We're now going to stand against the schemes of the enemy at this time. And I'm going to declare something that we're going to say no to. And afterwards, I'm going to say, we say, and I would like you to say no 3 times after each statement. And that's our front foot posture to say no to the enemy. And then after that, I'm going to declare some things that we want to loose blessing over our community. And when we do that, we're going to say 3 times, yes, yes, yes. And if you feel able in your home, shout it out. I think there's something very powerful about speaking out and using our voices. So here we go. To the coronavirus around us, we say 3 times, no, no, no. To sickness and death, we say no, no, no. To fear and panic, we say no, no, no. To selfishness and self-interest, we say no, no, no. To bankruptcies and businesses going out of business, we say no, 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 not here in Morven. And we say to isolation and loneliness, no, no, no. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to declare the goodness of God over Morven, over our communities and over our families. And so we loose blessing on and over Morven. Yes, 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 yes. We declare fruitfulness and flourishing over the businesses of Morven. Yes, 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 yes. We lose health over our community. Yes, 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 yes. We declare energy and inspiration and endurance over our emergency services and our health workers and our local leaders. We say yes, 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 yes. And we declare peace and love and endurance over all of us in our homes in these coming weeks. We say yes, 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 yes. And we declare love over all. Yes, 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 yes. And if you would join me, I want to declare Jesus is Lord over our town 3 times. And then I'm going to show another clip from Narnia. It's when Aslan, the risen Christ, roars over the land. And as that is what we're doing when we declare Jesus as Lord three times, we are roaring the sovereignty of God over our land. So after three, one, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus roar over our nations. We're now going to come together and sing our final song, The Days of Elijah. So let us sing.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And all these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. Of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are all white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There is 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 no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion to salvation.
So thank you so much for joining us online today, and we hope that was an encouragement to you. Just to say finally, we're going to put into place our plan for the next few weeks, and particularly new pastoral care structures and different ways we can serve and bless our community at this time. More information is going to be on our website, where we're going to be regularly updating that, so do look at that regularly, and also on Facebook. If you're not on our Facebook group, then please do like our Facebook page. We've got a lot of information which is going to be put up there as well. Thank you to everyone who's supported so far in so many different ways in the midst of the challenge of these times. It's been so encouraging to see people from our church and from our community coming together in a new and beautiful way. And I think we're going to be seeing more of that as these next few weeks go on. Please do contact us if there is any support that you need, or if you have anything that you want us to pray for, or if you fall ill or are self-isolating, we really would like to know. And as Peter was talking about earlier, the importance of prayer at this time is just right at the top of our agenda. And a couple of things to particularly encourage you to say that actually we are committing to meeting at noon every day to pray. Now, what that means, meeting at noon, is that actually one person from the staff team is going to be in one of our churches at noon to say the special prayer at noon, little prayers that we've put together that you can download from the website, and some of you had delivered with your home worship packs this week. These are particularly prayers against the coronavirus and particularly for blessing on our community, which is what Peter was talking about. And wherever you are at midday during the day, we'd love you to grab hold of one of these and just to stop for 10 minutes to pray it with us. And we're also going to invite people from anyone from the community to send in their own prayer requests. We've set up a special email, prayoneforme@standrewsandallsaints.org. And we'd love you to encourage people to send in prayer requests. And actually, that 12 noon prayer every day, we're going to be praying for those things, and we're going to be praying for people by name. Also, tonight, there is a national call to prayer by Churches Together in England. And what they're asking people to do is at 7 o'clock tonight, to light a candle in the window of your homes as a visible sign of the light of Jesus' presence at this time, and to stop and pray for your nation. Why don't you do that if you're on your own? Why don't you do that as a family if you are a family together? Obviously, please follow sensible safety precautions and don't leave candles, unlit candles, or lit candles even, on their own. But we really encourage you to take part in that. There are going to be millions, probably, of candles lit across the country. A great expression of a united church at this time. So that's all for today. I'm going to say a final blessing as we go, which is the blessing that we have on our noonday prayer. And how appropriate this is. It talks about, bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. Sometime soon, in the next few weeks, we're going to come back and gather together. But for now, let's pray a blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever we may be. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of you now and in the coming weeks in particular. Amen. We normally offer prayer at the end of our services, and we'd still love to today. Actually, if anything that's come up from today's service, we encourage you just to pray for each other. Or maybe if you're at home on your own, ring a friend and ask them now to pray for you. And what I'm delighted to say is, unlike last week, this week there is coffee available at the end of the service. The only issue is you have to go and do it yourselves. We'd love to see you next week. It's been great sharing this with you. Take care, keep in touch, particularly by our website and Facebook page, and more to come next week. God bless from all of us.